Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind. I'm Brian McCallum. Have you ever wondered what space sounds like? Have you ever wondered about the sounds of planets, stars, and possibly aliens filling our universe? Brian Day is a lunar expert from the NASA Ames Research Center in Moffett Field, California. He joins me to talk about the sounds of the solar system and how you might have the opportunity to record some for yourself. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thank you very much, Brian.
How are you doing?
Very well today. It's a little cold and rainy here, but I'm looking forward to talking to you and your audience.
Let's learn a little bit more about you first. What do you do as a lunar expert with NASA?
Well, I wear a couple of hats here. I am the Director of Communication and Outreach at NASA's Lunar Science Institute. And one of my main jobs associated with that is implementing programs of citizen science, getting students and interested members of the public directly involved in the science that we do here at NASA. I am also serving as the education and public outreach lead for our next mission to the moon, the LADEE mission.
Okay, we're going to get into that LADEE mission in a little bit, but how did you decide to become an expert?
Well, it's kind of interesting. My background in education is actually in astronomy and astrophysics, so lunar science was a bit of a stretch for me. But back in 2007, I got offered the opportunity to participate in a new mission called LCROSS, the Lunar Crater Observation and Sensing Satellite, which was the mission that actually discovered ice in a permanently shadowed crater at the south pole of the moon, water ice, an incredibly valuable resource. So I got involved in that mission, and to be frank with you, I've been hooked ever since.
Now let's talk about all of these cool sounds of space here. What are some of the most interesting ones you've picked up?
A vast many objects in the sky emit more than just visible light. Radio waves are emitted by a wide range of astronomical objects. And while we can't directly sense radio waves, we can convert radio waves into sound that we can hear, and that allows us to hear such things as supermassive black holes in the hearts of distant galaxies, and even the echo of the Big Bang at the formation of our universe.
And we're going to talk more about the Big Bang soon, in fact. In fact, we're going to talk about some of these cool sounds right now. So we're going to have you describe them, and then we're going to actually get to play them. This is going to be a real treat for our audience. First, tell us about one of the sounds you found, the Type 3 solar flare.
Okay, so this sound file actually comes from the University of Iowa, and it was recorded from the Cassini spacecraft. The Cassini spacecraft is actually out at Saturn, exploring Saturn and its moons. And on its way, it has been detecting a variety of radio signals, some from Saturn, but also from our nearest star, the Sun. The Sun is a very powerful source of radio waves, and the Sun periodically has these spectacular explosions known as solar flares. And so we're going to listen to some very intense solar flares detected by Cassini. These were on October 28th and November 4th, 2003. And again, these were provided by the University of Iowa.
Okay, folks, now we're going to listen to the Type 3 solar flare. You just heard the Type 3 solar flare. That was awesome, Brian. Now explain to us our next sound, which is the Saturn bow shock.
Very good. So the Sun puts out a wind, strong wind of charged particles, and these go charging across space. And as they reach the planet Saturn, they encounter Saturn's strong magnetic field, and they pile up and produce a shock wave in front of that magnetic field. The Cassini spacecraft crossed that bow shock on June 27th, 2004. It was at a distance of 49.2 Saturn radii away. So it was still a fair distance away from Saturn, but it crossed that big, you can think of it as a wave. Imagine a wave either in front of a boat moving through the water, or maybe even more accurately, as a wave in front of a supersonic aircraft, a shock wave. But this is a wave of charged particles. So as this Cassini spacecraft crossed that wave, we heard this really interesting sounding radio pulse. Let's listen to it now.
Yeah, let's do. Interesting. Definitely feel like one of those waves in the ocean, or just a big, huge wave of sound, like a big spaceship has just flown above your head.
It's a spectacular sound, isn't it?
It is. Next, let's talk about the Saturn aurora.
Very good. So Saturn is a source of intense radio emissions. The radio waves are closely related to the auroras near the poles of the planet. These auroras are similar to Earth's northern and southern lights. The Cassini spacecraft began detecting these radio emissions in April of 2002. And again, these are recordings that were posted by the University of Iowa coming from the Cassini spacecraft. These sounds, I think, are especially evoking images of Halloween as you listen to them. They're really kind of spooky sounding. Let's listen
to this one. Play one more sound, and it's probably one of the most popular sounds out there in space, the Big Bang.
Very good. So about 13.75 billion years ago, the Big Bang occurred and really gave rise to the universe that we all enjoy and live in today. The echo of that Big Bang can still be detected with the appropriate microwave reception, and so what we're going to do now is listen to a file that was produced by Professor John Kramer of the University of Washington, and this is a really amazing sound.
Okay, let's hear it. Cool. And so we're going to just play one more sound. We got a little bit of more time. Then we're going to move on. So why don't you tell us about the black hole?
Oh, okay. So we're going to listen to an interesting sound. This is coming from pulses of escaping X-rays coming from a black hole. In this case, the black hole is actually called Cygnus X-1. And this is data from the European Space Agency's EXOSAT satellite. So again, we're going to hear this incredible sound coming from a massive dead star, a black hole. Let's listen now.
And here's that black hole. Definitely felt like I was being sucked into one.
Yeah. Now, some of your audience will surely note that nothing can escape from inside a black hole. That is true. But what also happens is outside this edge of the black hole, you can get a whirlpool of material as it streams in. And that whirlpool material gets heated very hot and can cause jets coming out. And so that's what we're listening to, is not actually inside the black hole, which of course we can't hear, but we're listening to stuff falling into that black hole.
So how did you record all of these sounds?
Well, it's very similar to the way your radio at home works. An antenna and receiver are used to gather and tune into a radio signal, typically. They are amplified and then converted into sounds that we can hear and record. However, we use a range of different radio detectors. Some are on spacecraft, like the Cassini probe at Saturn. For faint sources, we use giant radio dishes here on Earth to gather and concentrate signals from across the universe. But a number of sources can be detected with simple radio gear, the kind that amateur enthusiasts operate.
And one of the amateur radio gears that that the enthusiasts do operate is ham radios. How are ham radios the best devices used to record the sounds of space?
The ham radio is particularly well suited to hear and record meteors. So when a piece of debris moving through space at high speed hits our atmosphere, it can create a column of ionized gas. And radio signals that are generated here on Earth can bounce off that column of ionized gas. And the real technique for doing this, for making this work, is to basically tune to a radio station that is typically just out of your range. It's just over the horizon, so you can't see it. You don't have a line of sight to that radio station anymore. But when that meteor comes and falls through the atmosphere and creates that reflected band of gas, then the signal from the radio station that you normally wouldn't be able to hear can bounce up off that column of gas and down to you. And so for briefly, you're able to hear the signal coming from that normally obscured radio station. That makes ham radio an excellent, excellent way to detect meteors.
All of these allocations with the ham radio and the radio for picking up the sounds of space all are a part of the electromagnetic spectrum. What is the electromagnetic spectrum? and how does it apply to all of these sound recordings?
Good question. The electromagnetic spectrum categorizes radiant energy. This energy takes the form of waves. The longest waves are called radio waves. Then the next shorter are the microwaves. These are the same waves we use to cook food in a microwave oven. Shorter still are the infrared waves, which we feel as heat. Then comes visible light. Beyond that, we have ultraviolet radiation, something anyone who has ever gotten a sunburn is unfortunately familiar with. Shorter still are X-rays, which our doctors make good use of. And the shortest and most energetic of all are gamma rays, which you generally want to avoid. It's important to note that visible light represents just a tiny sliver in the vast range of the electromagnetic spectrum. For a number of reasons, radio waves are particularly good for making observations of the universe.
Yeah, I saw your presentation at the California Council of the Blind Convention in Burlingame, California last April. You mentioned that you record these sounds and then present them to schools. What schools do you typically give these presentations at?
I've presented at a number of schools that have amateur radio programs. I also work with the Lewis Center for Educational Research and their GABBERT, Goldstone Apple Valley Radio Telescope program. This program allows students in their classrooms across the country and around the world to take remote control of giant 34-meter diameter radio dishes in NASA's Deep Space Network and use them to explore the universe. I am particularly excited at having been able to give a presentation at the California School for the Blind, and I'm very much looking forward to working with them on radio detection of meteors.
Let's talk about the effects of your presentation. How have they influenced these students and the general public to become the next astronaut, astronomer, scientist, or, based on what you mentioned earlier, the ham radio operator?
Very good. Well, right now, again, I'm really encouraging students to help us better understand some of the meteor showers that the Earth experiences. Some of these streams of debris strike the Earth during the daytime. These are the least well understood of meteor showers. But listening and recording them with ham radio is the best way to study these daytime meteor showers. So students and amateurs can make real contributions to science right now.
And speaking of contributions, there's a project that you and NASA Ames are doing right now, and it's called the LADEE Project. What does LADEE stand for? What's it designed to do? And how are the blind and visually impaired getting involved?
Great. I'm glad you mentioned that. So LADEE, it's L-A-D-E-E, stands for the Lunar Atmosphere and Dust Environment Explorer. We are a robotic mission that is going to go into orbit around the moon and dip down and actually sample the lunar atmosphere. It's going to tell us what the atmosphere is made of and what its structure is and how those vary over time. Now, when I went to school, I learned that the moon doesn't have an atmosphere, but now we know better. The moon, in fact, does have an atmosphere, a very, very thin one. We think that meteoroid impacts may be a major source of this lunar atmosphere. Now, since the Earth and Moon travel together through space, they encounter these streams of meteoritic debris together. By observing meteors here on Earth, we can infer what's happening on the lunar surface. We want as many observations of meteors as we can get during the LADEE mission. As we've already discussed, ham radio is a great way to detect meteors. And ham radio is an ideal hobby for the blind and visually impaired.
How are the blind and visually impaired recording all of these sounds of the moon?
So again, rather than recording the sounds of the moon itself, what we want people to do is make recordings of meteors. So again, amateur radio operators, ham radio enthusiasts, are very familiar with and very adept at using this radio detection. They detect distant stations because of meteors coming through our atmosphere. And so if they can then use their experience and expertise in doing this to make counts of meteors, what we want to do is see how the rates of meteors change day by day by day during the course of the LADEE mission. And as we see these changes in our atmosphere, we can infer what's happening on the moon's surface, because of these impacts on the moon are probably occurring very much in synchronization with the meteors that we detect here on Earth, because the Earth and moon are traveling through space together and encountering these streams of debris together. And so these observations are then that amateur radio enthusiasts make here on Earth can then be compared with any changes that LADEE's instruments see in the structure and composition of the lunar atmosphere, and help us better understand the role of meteoroid impacts as a source for the lunar atmosphere.
Matthew McConaughey was one actor that played a blind philosopher in the movie Contact, and he was exploring the sounds of space too, alongside Jodie Foster. How many blind and visually impaired people are currently participating in the LADEE project?
Unfortunately, blind and visually impaired people are very underrepresented in the LADEE mission. And it's not just the case for LADEE. It applies to astronomy and planetary science in general. This probably traces back to the stereotype of astronomers studying the universe by putting their eyes up to telescopes. Now, that used to be the case a long time ago. But as we have discussed today, we now make use of other detectors and other ranges of the spectrum. And I am very much hoping that these experiences with radio can cause more blind students to consider astronomy and planetary science as options for fields of study. I should also note that the NASA Lunar Science Institute has worked with David Hurd of Edinburgh University in Pennsylvania to put out a book, Getting a Feel for Lunar Craters. This is specifically for blind people. It is written in Braille, and it has tactile representations of lunar craters, allowing people to actually feel their way through an understanding of lunar craters and how they are formed.
So what's the current status of the LADEE project?
Well, the LADEE spacecraft itself is currently being assembled at NASA Ames Research Center in California. It will launch on the first flight of the brand new Minotaur 5 rocket, flying out of NASA's Wallops Flight Facility in Virginia. Launch is scheduled for next year, that's 2013, no earlier than August.
Fabulous. We look forward to definitely watching that and or listening, of course. What are some of the previous projects you have done to record the sounds of space, stepping back in time?
Well, yeah, I go back to one of my earliest experiences back as an undergraduate at UCLA, and we were studying an object called a blazar, and this was specifically something called Markarian 421. And the blazar is, again, an intensely active, supermassive black hole at the heart of a galaxy. And it's sucking in vast amounts of material, and it was putting out radiation across the entire electromagnetic spectrum. Really, really, really spectacular. And so this is my first introduction to really looking at astronomy from beyond just that tiny sliver of the visual spectrum, but looking at the whole broad electromagnetic spectrum and how that can be represented.
Are there going to be any future opportunities for our ham radio listeners out there to record any new or new and exciting, I should say, sounds of space?
Absolutely, absolutely. So right now we are approaching solar maximum. The sun goes through an 11-year cycle of activity, from peaking from very, very high, dipping down to very, very low, and back to high again. Like I say, in about an 11-year period. And we are coming up on one of those peaks in activity. And so being able to listen to these solar eruptions is very spectacular. It's also possible for amateurs to listen to radio storms on the planet Jupiter, and even to more distant sounds coming from throughout our galaxy. I would point your interested members of the audience to a website that's Radio Jove, spelled RadioJove, .gsfc.nasa.gov. And this is a great resource for learning how interested members of the public can start exploring the wonderful, wonderful signals coming into their radios.
We got about 30 seconds here. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I'd just like to thank you for the time, and I would like to invite the members of your audience to join with us here at NASA in the exploration of the universe.
Thanks for joining us today, Brian.
Thank you very much.
Here's how you can listen to The Sounds of Space featured on today's program. For the solar flare, Saturn bow shock, and the Saturn aurora, go to www.pw-physics.uiowa.edu/space-audio and click on the corresponding links. For the Big Bang, log on to faculty.washington.edu/jkramer and click on the link titled The Sound of the Big Bang. Finally, for the black hole, go to library.thinkquest.org/25715/discovery and click on Discovering Black Holes in Binary Systems.
That's it for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out.